Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd. We have a great third hour of the show. Colin's getting colonoscopy today. I got knee surgery scheduled for a week from today. I felt the whole Fox Sports Radio, we're just being stitched up in time. Just being stitched up in time for football season. My show, The Doug Gottlieb Show, runs after this show on most Fox Sports radio stations. Next week, I'm going to Rams camp. I don't know if I'm going to Chargers camp. I'm going to go to Chargers camp this weekend anyway. I don't know if we're sending the radio show, but you'll want to listen to the radio show. That's noon to 3 Pacific Coast time, our Heart Radio app, Fox Sports Radio, hopefully this affiliate, as well as 3 to 6 Eastern time, depending upon where, in fact, you live. The big news of, well, there's a lot of big news of the day. Like, there's some Olympic news. Our 4x400 got disqualified for one of the ladies was standing in the wrong, too far down in the handoff lane. Got DQ'd. That's not good. Simone Biles came out with a video saying she's got the yips. I mean, it's called the twisties, which is like the gymnastics version of the yips, where you lose kind of track of where you are. And she said she's had it before and takes usually like 2 weeks to kind of figure it out. It's really hard in the fly, which I do think there are people that called her a quitter. I think how we evaluate the mental health thing and how we, our opinions of athletes, we're just not congruent. And if we're not going to be congruent, and that's fair, that's fine. Just everybody's got to tell us what the rules are. Right. Tell us what the rules are. What else we got? The Team USA women, they won on penalty kicks to advance to the semifinals against the Netherlands. Didn't play great, but whatever, survive and advance. Oh, and Max Scherzer gave the Heisman to the San Diego Padres, who traded for him yesterday, but then he's like, yeah, I'm not waving my no-trade clause for the Padres. He and Trey Turner end up with the Dodgers. The Doyers are stacked, trying to become back-to-back champions. Should be pointed out that their salary number is at $275 million. Pretty fascinating stuff. Then there's the NBA draft last night, which there were some surprises, but I mean, if you know anything, the NBA is hiring over the past couple of years high school talent evaluators. Guys like Evan Daniels, who used to work with us at Fox, now works in the NBA. Why is that? Because they're basically drafting high school kids. And they need people who know these kids, who can research and understand who the player is, how he develops, understanding all that all over time. Instead of having, because you watch them so little in college, you need to have a better amount of background research. So the league understands the draft is getting younger, which means the players are further away from really, really helping you win. Anyway, I still think the story of the day is Russell Westbrook is a new LA Laker. Guy who's averaged a triple-double 4 different times. He's been a league MVP. He is the triple-double king in NBA history. He's coming to the Lakers, whose greatest player ever was the master of the triple-double in Magic Johnson. Please stop with the Magic Johnson. Well, Magic said Kobe's the greatest Laker ever, so that means, like, no. Magic says a lot of stuff. Like, now we're going to take Magic at his word? Right? Magic gets made fun of for his tweets every single day. Magic said bizarre stuff when he was a commentator first at NBC and then at ESPN. Magic said some weird stuff when he was the GM or whatever, the president of the Lakers. Right? Oh, but we're going to take... Everything else Magic Johnson says, you roll your eyes about. But when Magic says Kobe's the greatest Laker ever, you're going to be like, no, he said it. What are you going to say? I'm the greatest Laker ever? Was he Ricky Henderson? You know, think about how LeBron James was viewed when he had his barbershop deal and he said, you know, I knew I was the best player ever when we came from three games to one down. People were like, what? Huh? Other people have to say you're the best Laker ever. Magic Johnson's the greatest Laker ever. Please don't state otherwise. And he's Mr. Triple-Double, and now you're welcoming in another Triple-Double guy to play with LeBron James. And I think a lot of people get focused. A lot of people get focused on Russell Westbrook is friendly and friends with LeBron James. In fact, there's an LA Times article that apparently 2 weeks ago they all had dinner and decided, let's play together. You know, Russ is going to come back to LA where he's from, try and win one championship. LeBron and AD, like, how do we put together a championship team? Let's roll. And it stands to reason that if you look, and again, I don't know this for a fact. I have friends in Lakers, and full disclosure, Rob Pelinka's son plays for me in AAU. He's a wonderful kid. Wonderful kid. I have never, it's like not the nature of our relationship. I don't talk about his team, right? I just don't. So I haven't heard this from Rob, but I'm looking at what they're doing with their bench. Mike Pemberthy got moved to the front of the bench. Pemberthy actually beat me out in summer league. He's as good a shooter as I've ever seen play basketball. I think he played for the Masters. Like, that dude could shoot. So Mike Pemberthy and David Fizdale are in front of the bench. Well, Fizdale, of course, was a head coach, gives you head coaching experience, but also he was assistant coach with LeBron. Pemberthy is like the personal attaché of Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has his guy. LeBron has his guy, right? Then LeBron goes out and says, all right, now I'm going to go get Russell Westbrook. That's our guy. I don't know what it means to his friendship with Chris Paul, but it is, in fact, interesting. Chris Paul's team actually won or got to the finals. Russ didn't. Maybe it's Chris Paul's lack of size or his age or the fact that once he wore down in the finals, he looked like a different player. I don't know. But this is the LeBron James team. And they're doing what the king would like, and the king wants to win, and this is how he thinks he can win. But can you help me out? When do friends getting together later in their career to have a business, when does that work? When does that work? You ever work in a job with your buddy? I have a friend who he owns a mechanical company in the Midwest. And I didn't know what mechanical company was either. I had to look it up. So basically it's like, do they have plumbers? Yes. But they like do, if you're going to build a building and you need all the pipes and everything done, like they do it all. Mechanical company. That's the easiest way. And really, really successful business. And he works with his brother. And he and his brother, they fight nonstop. And they're really successful. But it's not necessarily always an enjoyable existence. The difference is that you can't fight nonstop when you're playing in the NBA. And Russell Westbrook was boys with James Harden. Remember that? He was boys with James Harden. Man, get Chris Paul out of here. I can't take his... Give me one of my really close friends in Russell Westbrook. How'd that go? Not well. Not well. Russ was frustrated with James Harden's lack of work ethic and practice kind of attitude and defense. And I'm sure James Harden was frustrated with the fact that Russell Westbrook was basically playing a small ball five. And it really limited their ability to do all the things they want to do when, you know, he dominates the ball and he can't really shoot. So I get the idea of, hey, let's form this united front. Let's play together. But when does that work? Then you combine that it's a team that's not a good shooting team. And Russell Westbrook is not a terrible shooter, but he's the worst kind of subpar shooter. You know what the worst kind is? He doesn't seem to know he's not a good shooter. Right? Like, look, I couldn't throw in the ocean, but you know what I wouldn't do? Throw it. I mean, you can't shoot. Maybe you shouldn't shoot. That's not Russell Westbrook. He's the worst kind. He's a low percentage, high volume shooter. He actually, for the volume of shots that he takes, he's the worst shooter in the NBA. So you added a guy who you're friends with, who's gone to, this is 4 teams in 4 years, right? Who's very competitive. Nobody's questioning his competitiveness. He's had 4 knee surgeries. He's in his 30s. There's a chance of breaking down. And yeah, he plays hard and he'll play every night if you let him. But he can't shoot. And then there's the whole relationship thing, dude. Like, you know, working with, playing with friends, kind of a frustration, right? Because then it's like, hey, you know me. You know what I like. You don't think LeBron's frustrated with Anthony Davis? LeBron James sprains his ankle. They said, hey, you're out 4 weeks. I'll be back in 2. Anthony Davis hurts his groin. And they're like, you're out 4 weeks. Okay, I'll see you in 4 weeks. Maybe 6. That's the way it works. You don't think he got frustrated with that? But it's really hard to question and to confront and to... And to, because you'd think your friend knows you better. At the end of the day, I'm not willing to call it, right? And say absolutely, positively, it's not going to work. But the likelihood of success, considering he can't shoot, considering he's also older, more likely to get injured, as is LeBron, and Anthony Davis has been injury prone. They still have to figure, with all the money that he makes, you got to figure out a way to build a team still around them, you know, and get guys off the scrap heap. He's not easy to play with. He doesn't shoot the ball well. They are friends. He has had 4 knee surgeries. Like, in the risk reward, when I heard Buddy Hield was potentially a Laker, I was like, wow, they get it. Buddy Buckets, great personality. Everybody loves him. Can really shoot the basketball. Doesn't require the ball a ton. Then they went and got Russell Westbrook, who can't really shoot the basketball, does require the ball. And though he has, everybody likes, respects Russ, it can be a little bit of grating personality. Have fun with that. All right, we have news on Carson Wentz. We got MLB trade deadline updates, some name, image, and likeness news. Ooh, we got a lot. We got a lot to get to. Plus, John Middlecoff joins us. Upcoming next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is The Herd. We got a great best for last for you. I do. I'm not going to lie to you. I have a little Olympic fatigue, but I feel like I have one last kind of second wind in me. I'm going to save up here for when the basketball plays in that actual final eight. Right? They got to beat the Czech Republic, which I think is tomorrow. And then track and field. Although some of that's gotten underway. I mean, I got a couple more days of Olympics in me. But what I did want to do was a best for last that is Olympic centric. And I think you will enjoy it. We'll do that at the bottom half of the hour. John Middlecoff in a second. First, though, let's get to Lead to Lap with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Doug, the MLB trade deadline is in just over about 90 minutes away and plenty of action to get to. Yesterday, we saw Yankees acquiring Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs. The Cubs still have Craig Kimbrell and Chris Bryant. We're going to see if they...
They don't.
No?
No, the White Sox just traded for Craig Kimbrell.
Oh, there it is. There that
Jeff
is.
Jeff Passan.
Oh, good old Jeff Passan. Well, the Braves, they also...
Imagine you move from the north side to the south side. You're like, same city. What could possibly do different?
Do you change addresses? No.
No. Then you have to the cable, right? Or whatever internet provider you want to use. No. Now, plus, I would guess, I wonder where Kimbrel lives, right? If you have kids, you live up on the North Shore, but no, you don't change addresses. Especially not for 2 months.
Right. Well, the Braves, they also got Adam Duvall from the Marlins. They got Eddie Rosario from Cleveland. They traded away Pablo Sandoval to Cleveland, who probably won't be a non-factor there. Brewers are finalizing...
Pablo Sandoval still in baseball?
I know, right?
had no idea.
Blue Jays, they got right-hander pitcher Jose Berrios from the Twins. And the Brewers are finalizing a deal for Tigers' Daniel Norris. But, of course, the biggest news was the Dodgers landing Max Scherzer to the chagrin of both the Giants and, of course, the Padres.
That's awesome. I mean, I'm not even a Dodger fan, but just you want to talk about a flex move. Like, Padres is like, we got him. Max Scherzer coming. He's like, yeah, this whole no trade clause. Don't want to go to the Padres. Now, I don't know why anybody would not want to go to the Padres, right? I mean, like, Petco, San Diego, amazing. On the other hand, Dodger Stadium, you did win it last year. You probably have a better overall team. I don't know. Like, it's very interesting. I'd love to hear from Max. And he's a pretty honest salesman. I'd love to hear from Max Scherzer exactly why he chose the Dodgers instead of choosing the Padres. That would be a fascinating listen. A Dodger team that they got the Diamondbacks upcoming tonight, right? Yeah. So, but they got Trey Turner, and they got Max Scherzer both in the same day.
So, yes, MLB trade deadline in just over an hour and a half. On to the Tokyo Olympics. Big news. Obviously, we were talking about this yesterday. Suni Lee being the next woman up and getting that gold medal for USA. Big step for her. In fact, on her Instagram, she jumped up from 250,000 followers to over a million in just a few hours. And this is, of course, big news, not just for her, but for name, image, and likeness. This is the first time, you know, she's still at Auburn. She's 18 years old. She's going back. She's going to be able to capitalize.
I don't think she's been at Auburn yet.
Right, but she will be next when she returns. She will be competing with Auburn, and she's going to be able to capitalize on tons of endorsements, unlike in the past, say, for Katie Ledecky, who had to, forgo all those endorsements because she wanted to attend Stanford.
Because you can attend Stanford, but she wanted to swim at Stanford.
Correct.
Right, so you can always attend Stanford. You can always attend Auburn. But look, I, you know, it's where this thing went wrong. What's the guy who's the moguls? Jeremy Bloom, right? The Jeremy Bloom thing where he could have made a bunch of money in endorsements from skiing. He was a football player at the University of Colorado. That's where this thing, it was pretty hard to defend. Pretty hard to defend him in regards to that. The NCAA, I mean. And it'll be interesting to see, like, what. I do think nationally, there'll be some sponsorship dollars for her. Locally, as much as SEC gymnastics is popular, it's not like she's somebody who's going to be showing up at a restaurant and thousands of people. I could be wrong. The name, image, and likeness thing is fascinating because generally it has not changed much the landscape of college sports. It feels like in the SEC, they'll find ways to pay for players, right? That's really what it is, which is what we told you to be. It'll be paying for players, and then a lot of people who aren't as accomplished as she is, but having big Instagram follows or numbers of followers, they benefit the most.
Lastly here, Doug, Tim Tebow getting showered with praise at the open training camps. Caught a touchdown pass from Trevor Lawrence today. You think he makes the 53-man roster?
I do not. But what's interesting about it is, like, the Tebow thing kind of goes hand in hand with the Kevin Love thing. And I saw this story earlier today, which was really interesting, where Jerry Colangelo was quoted. I think it was Brian Windhorst who had it. Colangelo explained what happened with Kevin Love. Okay, and in the article it says who was controversially invited. He wasn't controversially invited. The only guy who said anything was Jalen Rose because he didn't call anybody, didn't ask. I didn't think Kevin Love was going to play. I wasn't even sure he had much left to play. He reached out to us, said he was in shape, said he felt like he owed us. And on the basis of that, we're looking into someone with international experience, someone who at one time was a heck of a rebounder, could still shoot the ball, you know, being like a 12th man on the roster. Didn't work out, wasn't in shape, and he was way behind, as it turned out. So we moved on. Call it a mistake. Call it giving somebody opportunity. Someone who has equity with us. That's all that this is. Look, sports is a business. And businesses, you give opportunities to people you've worked with before. People you know. People you trust. Team Tebow got an opportunity with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Much the same reason. he called him up and said, hey, I'm in shape. I want a shot. And they're like, you know, like, you've played in the league before. You've been a starting quarterback. You know how training camps work. It's a non-guaranteed deal. You have a relationship with Urban Meyer and some other coaches on the staff. Like, what the hell? Why not? The only people making a big deal of it are people who are chasing these stories and trying to assume that it means something along because they're white. Like, there's black players that get opportunities as well because the relationships they have with coaches and staff. Like, that's what happens. That's how it works. Right? Like, how does it work where, I want to make sure how we're pronouncing his first name now, because it did change. It did really, really change. But the Houston Texans starting quarterback, right, as of now, appears to be Tyrod Taylor, right? Why Tyrod Taylor, who was awful during limited time with the Chargers last year, why Tyrod Taylor get an opportunity with the Houston Texans? Well, their head coach is in Baltimore, where Tyrod Taylor was in Baltimore. They have a relationship there. That's why. Past relationships. That's where people follow in any business. My business, your business, their business. That's what the Tim Tebow story is about. And that's Lee DeLapp with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, he's got an award-winning podcast you should download and listen to. He's John Middlecoff, a former NFL scout, and of course, a former coach in college as well. He joins us in the Herd. Do you see this news? Carson Wentz, foot injury, out indefinitely. Now, look, I don't know what the injury is. It hasn't been released. When I hear out indefinitely, that means broken foot. If it was plantar fasciitis or, you know, a sprain, that would have been, he sprained his ankle, day to day, or we'll get back to you. They say out indefinitely feels like a broken foot.
Yeah, not good. Not good at all. I would say broken foot, something serious. Because like you said, I mean, I take every injury in training camp serious. Obviously the ones where, you know, guys are carted off a field or, you know, a preseason game, we all can tell, like, it's probably over. But any time that any guy, Dak Prescott, you know, 2 weeks, it's like, that, to me, that's not nothing. J.J. Watt pulls a hamstring. But when you immediately say day of, the day that he got hurt, out indefinitely, yeah. I'm with you. That is a huge red flag. And let's face it, Doug, I mean, it's only July 30th. We have a long way to go. You know, it makes the Eagles look a little smarter, you know? I mean, this is a guy – and not just the play, right? I mean, he has a long injury history. So even if he had been really good and not been a problem in the locker room or whatever, just his injury history alone is something. And I think it gets back to, ultimately, why his market when you factor in all the different variables. Because let's say he never plays a snap for the Colts, worst case scenario. It'll just turn into a second-round pick. They'll have to pay some money. But it was they took a risk. But they didn't give up that much. I think his market kind of showed that this was the risk.
Now look, I will. The one out is if he got stepped on, right? Like if somebody landed on his foot,
yes.
Right? Like quarterback of the Broncos? Why am I Louisville Vikings, Jets? Saints, now
Teddy,
Broncos.
Teddy Bridgewater,
right? Teddy Bridgewater dropped back, planted. It was the last play of preseason. Knee blew up, right? Like, yeah. If it was one of those, I'm going with the injury-prone thing. I will allow him the out of somebody steps on his foot, breaks his foot. Like, that's not really the injury-prone thing.
I agree. Especially right? Offensive linemen, they're known to weigh a lot, so that would hurt.
Right. But here's the question, right? And this is – the Texans are trying to move Deshaun Watson – and they obviously seem like they screwed up waiting too long. And I understood why they were going to hang on to him. Like, he's got a big contract game played in. But it's really hard to move him because you still have these allegations and these lawsuits against him. But the thought was, like, you need a team that's desperate in order to overpay. At what point in time are the Colts desperate enough? And it's in division, so it's really hard. Is there any way that marriage would happen?
Yeah, to me, they feel like they would be off the list. But I go back to it. I always pound the table. Like, the NFL does not set the moral compass for society. But I don't think you can trade for him until this stuff goes away. And I'd be shocked if he gets traded for before the slate is kind of clean. And definitely, you know, like suspension. I mean, there's a lot of unknown. But to the division thing, let's face it. Let's say he has a shattered foot or something that, you know, could potentially jeopardize his entire season. Doesn't Nick Foles make the most sense, right? They just drafted Justin Fields. He's just kind of there. I know it'd suck for Carson to have him back next to him, but Frank has a history with him. They're not going to play with Jacob Eason, who, listen, I'm not a big fan of as a player, and Ellinger is not going to start on a team that has, you know, is a playoff team. I would say that Nick, given his, you know, history with Frank, if they needed to patchwork something, is more realistic, also more, you know, it costs way less. You know, you probably could get him for a late round pick, just take his contract. So that to me would be a name that I would definitely keep an eye on.
Smart. They give a Nick Foles. We finally found a Nick Foles home. Maybe it's in Indianapolis. All right, let's get to, we heard from Aaron Rodgers 2 days ago. Yesterday we heard from Brian Gutekunst, and there were two things that came out of it, right, for me. Okay. One, he was like, Randall Cobb is only here because he's really important to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Right? That was, hey, man, this is Aaron Rodgers' guy. But then the other part was a little bit of a flex, which is like, he's not a lame duck guy. It's year-to-year business. I still make the calls around here. It feel like that to you?
He said over and over that for this marriage to work, we have to meet in the middle. Almost, you know, he kept saying that, you know, kind of it's on both of us. And I thought, and listen, I've had a front row seat for Bob Myers, who is, I would say, as good as there is in all of sports, is just dealing with personalities. And they don't teach you in scout school, right, when you're coming up the ranks. They teach you how to rank players, how to evaluate players, but you either have people skills or you don't. And listen, is Aaron probably more difficult than his awesome press conference came away? For sure. But he is the best player in the history of the franchise. He's arguably the best player in the league. And clearly he wants his butt kissed a little bit. And rightfully so. He's earned it. And felt like Gutekunst was not just going to kind of get on his knees and just open his arms and be like, yeah, I was wrong. And I thought that was just, even if he doesn't believe it, I thought it was a poor tactic. Because the only move to me over these next 6 months is kind of giving in. Now, Aaron kept bringing up these older players, and I think anyone who's seen Moneyball and just followed sports, right, the Walshes, the Belichicks, the Pat Riley, there's a balance, right? You can't get too emotional with players.
Correct.
And in football specifically, older players. So I agree with, like, Aaron last year, that guy that they cut, right?
Who Crum was, Row?
Yeah, like Aaron would have been like, listen, I think this guy could help. That would be something for sure. Especially, it's not like their receiver group's great. Like, you listen. But to me, once he started listing the Jordys, I watched Jordy with the Raiders. It was over. And Charles changed. I love Charles Woodson, but
changed,
like, I would say the Packers did well on most of those decisions. So,
well, that was the part where it was the extra FU from Aaron Rodgers was, I want to help them with some of the mistakes of the past, right? And your Brian Kunikas going like, Jordy Nelson was washed up, dude. It wasn't a mistake, right? Charles Woodson
changed. Do you agree that Gutekunst, even obviously he's going to think that and just like, oh my God, probably thinks Aaron's a drama queen. But I thought his tactic publicly was just, I would have just kept my mouth shut and pretended to just love Aaron.
But that's what they've done, though. This is what they've done. I mean, I think they understand that everyone sees what and who Aaron is. But you don't have to say it, right? Like, it just, you don't have to say he's complicated, right? Remember, who is it? Was it Mark Murphy who said he's complicated?
Right,
he's complicated. Complicated.
But when you're complicated, it's not a compliment.
Sure.
When you're
smart,
level,
is not a compliment. By the way, smart, not a compliment either. Somebody's like, man, that guy's he's really smart. That means he's a know-it-all. That's what
true.
It means.
True, and Aaron is the smartest guy in the room. I mean, right? He's a bright guy.
I said this earlier, and you tell me if I'm, everyone says like, well, why wouldn't you give him decision? One of the things about decision-making power is it can work out two ways that are negative. One is they just disagree and we're going to do our own thing. And then he's even more upset. Like, you didn't listen to me. I said, we need him. Like, nah, we heard you. We're just going to go a different way. And the other part to it is at some point in time, somebody's going to get cut, released or whatever, or offered what's seen as a bad deal, right? Lowballed and, hey, you want to stay. And if Aaron Rodgers, if he thinks that he's a friend before that, by the time that news gets to the player and he knows that Aaron was involved on some level in the decision-making process, they're not friends anymore. You get cut and your friend is involved. I'm not friends with you anymore. You didn't have my back. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would say the most powerful part of the locker room, I think it works in most offices. You know, when someone gets let go, I think most people agree, like, you know, this was out of our control. Like, the boss's decision. It was the right. GM's decision. It was the coach's decision. And in the history of pro sports, for the most part, maybe beside, like, some LeBron and Michael Jordans, that's always the case. That was the case with Tom Brady. I mean, from Logan Mankin, some of the Wes Welkers, Tom could always say, I wanted to keep these guys. And now Aaron, and it's easy with a young player maybe, but some of these veterans, you know, it could get complicated fast because I've been on the side of you evaluate all the practice squad guys. You evaluate all the street free agents. So Aaron goes, of course I want Randall Cobb back. You can't convince me that they couldn't have gotten someone for a tenth of the price who probably can give 90% of the production that's on some other roster right now. But he wouldn't know that. I mean, he's not evaluating the league. And you could tell this is where I will defend Gutekunst's kind of body language. Like, yeah, he wanted him. I mean, it's not what I would have done. But and in fairness to Gutekunst, what they've done has worked pretty well.
Yes. Right? I mean, they've been the NFC Championship game in the past 2 years.
You get credit as a general manager for more than just quote-unquote drafts, right? Free agency, hiring the coach who has implemented the Shanahan offense.
Who to keep, who not to. Who to keep, who not to keep, right? I mean, like, you know.
I think Murphy is on. It is a. It's gotten more complicated now because now here's my question. If I'm Gutekunst, one, I'm just kissing his butt a little bit because you have to. But we know in football more than any of the other sports, right? There is a date at the end of training camp that a lot of people get, you know, become unemployed, get cut. Do I have to bring Aaron into our meetings like that leading up to those couple days and like tell him everything we're doing? Like how do I balance that? And that's going to be a tough challenge for, you know, an organization historically that is a little Belichick. They do not ask any questions. They just do. So, and that's a big day. And I've been a part of it 3 or 4 times. It's a lot of work goes into it. Usually a player isn't giving his input on, you know, what practice squad guys to snag from other teams and, you know, what practice squad guys to keep. And that's kind of what it feels like Aaron's going to want here. And, you know, it's basically a month away.
Question for you. This is and have you been to Green Bay for a game?
I have not.
Okay. So I've just, you know, like I had a chance when I was at ESPN, John Anderson was in my neighbor and he's from Green Bay. His mom lives there. And the first year that Favre was with the Vikings, I was like, hey, I want to go to that game when Favre comes back. He's like, you know, my mom is so mad. She's not going. You can use your tickets. You can sleep in our basement. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. So I'm a constant procrastinator, right? So I got closer and closer to it. He's like, hey, just heads up. Like, my mom wants to use the tickets. She's mad, but she's still going to go. She can't not watch Favre when he plays. And I was like, that's no problem. I could probably get tickets. And I just bailed on it. I was just watching it on TV. And it was an incredible game, and Favre's team won. Okay. Likelihood this is Rodgers' last season.
On the Packers, I would say 75% he's on the team in 2022. 25% it's not. Because I do think they have a pretty good chance. The coach is going to have a lot of influence. He can help kind of bridge the gap and really force it home. They can sign Devontae, Bakhtiari. You just gave him the golf cart today. They're boys.
Yeah.
They're going to be good. Like unless Gutekunst is just refuses and Murphy to like play the game a little bit. I mean, they have a pretty good opportunity here.
But the idea is this could be the last year, right?
And they have an unbelievable. I mean, it could,
all right. So hold on. Here's the options. October 3rd, Pittsburgh at home. October weather's not crazy bad, but could be pretty nice. Fall, Green Bay, sounds beautiful. And it's definitely the last time that Ben Roethlisberger walks on that turf, right?
Yeah.
Washington football team, great defensive front. I don't know, I'm not really that into it. Seattle, November 14th. Sounds cold, but two great quarterbacks, and it's like a playoff game played all over again.
Yeah.
You got the Rams, again, playoff game. Now we're the Sunday after Thanksgiving, sounds really, really cold. Maybe you get the real kind of vibe of what it's like in the frozen tundra. Chicago, December 12th sounds really, really cold. But again, it's the Bears who he always kicks their ass. Cleveland, it's OBJ, and that's a really good team. Or Minnesota,
that's a fun game.
And then Minnesota could be his last game. It's Sunday Night Football. Could be his last game in a Packer uniform on that, maybe, or the regular season game, maybe. You can pick one. Which one would you pick?
To me, just I guess historically, the division game, the Bears thing's pretty cool. Even and you just know he's going to play pretty well. It'd be something probably in the division. But if you tell me that Cleveland is, like, I'm not, obviously Cleveland's roster on paper is awesome, but anytime a team has made, you just had 1 year of success.
Yes.
You know,
they add Odell Beckham Jr. this year, which does not always, it's not always addition by addition.
In theory, they're a 12 or 13 win team. That game could be awesome. So, but that's risky. You know,
Seattle, you would do the more than the Rams or more than Seattle, you would do the Bears.
Yeah, if Justin Fields is playing, you know, it's just there's something Green Bay, freezing cold. I'd go all in on the experience. And I hate the cold, but I'd want to be like, you know, I was at a game that was 7 degrees, Green Bay, Wisconsin, playing the Bears.
Yes.
Like, that to me feels very Midwest. It feels like the experience.
We all operate under this Tom Brady can run it back, but the only team that really ever ran it back were the Patriots, right? The Patriots found a way to do what no one else could do, which is consistently win. How convinced are you? Because the division does not look strong. How convinced are you that the Buccaneers can run it back?
Seattle, I mean, wasn't a Russell Wilson pick away from basically doing it, right? I mean, when they were the year when they were in the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots, they had just won the previous year. I do think that they're a little like Seattle in the sense of when you have a dominant defense, you're just going to be in the mix, and their defense is going to be excellent. So even if before we even bring up Brady, if they just had an average offense, they would be a fringe playoff team because they potentially have the best with, you know, Brandon Staley gone and the Rams losing a couple guys. Like, they might be statistically the best defense in the league. And then the weapons they have on offense and just Brady's, even if Brady slips a little bit, and listen, I mean, he's 44 years old. He's so smart. They're going to run the ball, you would think, you know, a little more this year. Cohesion in the backfield. Their wide receivers just translate to any, whether it's cold, hot, like they have it all. They have speed guys. They have big guys. They got tight ends. I just think they're kind of built to, you know, like a better version of that kind of Seattle team earlier in the decade. Now, that Seattle team, I don't know how many true Hall of Famers the Bucs have on defense. They might have been a little more high-end. But I see some similarities, and that stuff translates. Then, I mean, as we all know, right, there's a little element of luck in a playoff game. A ball bounces your way, a fumble, a pick, that type stuff. So it's hard to get, you know, it's kind of crazy looking back how the Patriots consistently did it. But I think that they are the clear favorite in the NFC. But I honestly put Green Bay right there as well. You know, if Aaron's in good spirits, I mean, that team's basically running it back too. And they were right there. Right.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
and they think
they fixed their offensive line, but we shall see. Last thing, Westbrook and the Lakers, does it work?
No. I mean, it honestly has some feelings, maybe a little better version of, remember the Sports Illustrated cover with Nash and Dwight? Again, I would take Anthony Davis over Dwight and LeBron over that version of Kobe, but this Russ, they're all old. I was driving home from the gym and heard you say, I mean, these guys are older, two of them, and then AD gets hurt all the time. It's got a little combustion written all over it, doesn't it, Doug?
Yeah, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch.
It will. Very interesting. I can't wait for Warriors later.
I cannot wait. Good stuff, man. Have a great weekend. 3 and Out's the podcast. Download it. You won't be sorry. Thanks for joining us.
See you later.
All right. Best for last. Olympic edition is next in the Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Thanks so much for making this part of your day. Big man's back on Monday. He'll be all cleansed. Oh, he got a colonoscopy. I thought he got a colon cleanse. He'll be cleansed. Let's get to the best for last.
It's almost the end of the show, but that doesn't mean we're phoning it in. Nope. We grind to the very last segment. It's time for Best for Last.
All right, here's what we do. So I was watching slalom kayaking the other night, and I was like, that's an Olympic sport? And then did you see, like, our best BMXer got hauled off in an ambulance, like, on the first turn? They had BMXing in the Olympics. Did you guys see all this stuff? So I came up with 10 sports that they should add for the 28 Olympic Games in Los Angeles. Let's get to it.
Number 10.
Water skiing. Right? We got snow skiing in the Winter Olympics. We got kayaking. Why not water skiing? Like slalom water skiing? All the different water skiing stuff. Sounds awesome to me.
Number 9.
Rock climbing. I kind of get where I'm going here. Like, these are all, like, what's a legitimate sport? What's not? Rock climbing is legit. It's hard. There's strategy to it. Physically enduring. And again, you're going to be in California. You can do great rock climbing. Plus, everybody climbs those walls at your local YMCA or Equinox or whatever. Yeah, why not?
Number 8.
Shooting. But, like, you have all these targets. Different targets within kind of a city complex, kind of a city layout. Then you can do kind of a country layout. Not just shooting at targets. Just a thought.
Number 7.
Water balloon fights. It's going to be summer. All these Olympic Games are summer and it's ridiculously hot. Water balloon fights to me. Now, again, some of it they'd have to have Olympically sponsored, perfectly put together water balloons with the Olympic logo on it. But water balloon fights, that's a possibility. Put it on the list, guys.
Number 6.
One-on-one. If you have 3-on-3, which isn't real basketball, why not have 1-on-1? What, because Americans would win gold, silver, and bronze? So, 1-on-1.
Number 5.
Home run derby. I don't like the home run derby here, but I mean, like, again, if we're going to have baseball, and then we're going to have basketball, but we're going to have 3-on-3, why not have home run derby? You have individual stuff for other sports, and the 50-meter free. Right, you don't just have swimming. You got all these different. Why not home run derby?
Number 4.
Spike ball. I've seen it on TV. I'm not particularly good at it. I don't actually understand how people are good at it. But it's a thing, right? It's way better than smash ball. No one could ever keep a rally going on a beach in smash ball. I don't know who thought smash ball was a good idea. We all bought the paddles and the ball. Spike ball is way better.
Number 3.
Slam ball. Now, this was a legit sport on television in the United States. We need to bring it back. Trampolines, basketball, dunks, trash talking. Yes, please. Slam ball.
Number 2.
Horse. Horse. Can you imagine some of the trick shots and some of the unbelievable shot making? Horse.
Number 1.
Pickleball. This one's going to be a sport. Pickleball is literally the fastest growing sport. For people that aren't really athletes anymore who like to drink, and that will become a sport. If tennis is a sport in the Olympics and ping pong's a sport in the Olympics, why not pickleball? Which is a combination of tennis and ping pong. You're welcome. That's the best for last. Okay, so look, we got a huge sports weekend, mostly Olympic-based. I'll point out you should download the All Ball podcast tomorrow. Charles Jenkins is my guest. Really, really, really good stuff. Does Russell Westbrook work in L.A.? Probably not, right? Let's get a bunch of old guys together. What do old guys do? They have a tendency to get hurt. Veterans do. Veterans play to their percentages. He's not a good shooter. But it's going to be really, really entertaining. And the Lakers haven't finished their roster yet. Enjoy the weekend. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.